Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor left, brings you Night Editor. The presses roll for another of Hal Burdick's famous Night Editor stories, as he tells us about Officer Danny O'Hearn and the part Mother Ferran played in Danny's search for the man who murdered his father in a new yarn titled Time Saver.
In the darkened room, gangster Joe Raffle waited, his plan crystal clear. O'Hearn would come looking for him alone, eager to settle the accounting for his father's death, believing Raffle was in an unlocked room asleep. And when O'Hearn came into the room, Raffle smiled. A small caliber gun against a man's body made no noise.
Friends, for extra coffee satisfaction, there's nothing quite like the extra flavor lift of Edwards Coffee. Yes, that richness of flavor really hits the spot. And why? Well, because Edwards Coffee is specially blended and roasted the expert custom way, according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula, to bring you all the full, rich, natural coffee flavor of Edwards' exclusive blend. Try a pound. If you don't thoroughly enjoy its extra flavor lift, your money refunded. Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
And now we join Hal and Bobby in the Night Editor's office over in a far corner of the busy newsroom of the Metropolitan Paper in that between editions time of relaxation.
You ready to go out for a cup of coffee, Hal?
Well, I guess so, Bobby.
The Edwards jar waits on the shelf, the coffee bubbles on the hot plate, and Charlie stands by ready in the lunchroom.
Hey, what is that line, the hit tune of the week?
Well, a cup of Edwards coffee would make a hit with me right now.
Very clever, very clever. As a matter of fact, I spent so much time yarning with my old friend Chief Renwick tonight, I really shouldn't go out for coffee.
Is that the fellow who left your office a few minutes ago, Hal?
He's been chief of police of an eastern city where I once worked as a police reporter for many years. Out here on a visit.
I suppose the two of you had one of those remember the time sessions?
We sure did, Bobby. Many's the news story I've worked on with the chief. We were recalling some of them tonight. Yep, including one of the most famous of them all.
Well, we can't go out for coffee until the press run starts. That gives us a few minutes.
Meaning, why don't I tell you the story?
Boy, you sure are a mind reader.
Well, I think you'd get a kick out of it, Bobby, as I did when I worked on it long ago. The story of Danny O'Hearn and Joe Raffo and Mother Foran's watchful care over her daughter, Mary. Danny O'Hearn was the son of a police officer who died in action, Bobby. They never hung it on Joe Raffo, though there was evidence that pointed that way, and Raffo disappeared soon after. And from the moment of the tragedy, Danny had one consuming desire: to get on the force himself and wait for the day when he could avenge his father's death. Everybody liked Danny. He was a big, good-natured lad with an Irish smile and a cheery greeting for everyone and the kindliness of true tolerance. And everybody was aware, too, that back of his sparkling blue eyes was the quiet bravery to see the task he'd set for himself through to a finish. And no one was surprised when, still a rookie copper, he closed in on a gang of warehouse thieves one night with his service revolver biting holes in the sticky darkness and left one dead on the pavement while two marched with snarling protest to the call box. But the next day, Chief Renwick called Danny to his office and spoke to the big rookie officer like a father.
I suppose you know what you've done, Danny. We've reason to believe Joe Raffo's back in town and top man of that mob you cleaned out last night.
That's true. Your number's up with him. I'm not afraid, sir.
No, I guess you're not. Any more than your father was before you. But I warn you to be careful. Raffo will see it as an act of revenge. He won't take it sitting down.
All I ask is that I meet up with him, Chief, under conditions that give me a chance to square accounts.
There was pride in the chief's smile as he laid his hands on the young officer's shoulders. Like father, like son. And nothing I say will stop you. But there's one thing I can do, and that's shift you to a day patrol.
I'd like that, Chief. Give me my evenings to look for him, if he's anywhere in the city.
Just be careful, son. That's all I ask.
It was late afternoon, several days later, when Danny headed up the apartment-lined street toward his modest living quarters. His evening's routine would be as it had been. Dinner, change to plain clothes, tuck the service revolver in his shoulder holster, and take up his lone wolf hunt through dim byways for Joe Raffle. He was planning it as he walked along. Then he came to a stop as a woman came out of a store carrying well-laden market bags.
Well, now, Danny, lad.
Hello, Mother Foran.
Sure, these many days I've not seen you, boy.
No, been a week and more. I've been busy.
I know. And the nature of your business is one that disturbs me.
Well, it's good business if it pays off. I think it will. And I'm thinking it might be better for you to give up the whole idea of ever... Now, don't you worry, Mother Ferran. Tell me, how's Mary?
None the better for the long time you've not been around for a bite of dinner and taking her to a movie and then coming back to sit in the front parlor.
Yeah, until you kicked me out. Ah, go along with you. 'Tis a good thing I do keep an eye on the girl. Or you and all the other young men who come calling would keep her up half the night.
Danny looked away a moment. Then, I suppose she has a date tonight.
Well, no, I did hear her say something about that young man from the bank asking her could he call.
Sure. And there are things I ought to be doing anyway. Some evening soon,
He broke off as a flashily dressed young man came down the steps of Mrs. Foran's boarding house a few doors distant and slouched on down the street in the opposite direction.
I see Clint Hendricks is still with you. Why don't you tell that pool hall rat to find another place to live?
Oh, I know. I don't like the cut of him any better than you do, Danny. But he pays his keep and gives me no trouble. And a widow woman running a boarding house can't be too choosy.
No, I suppose not. Well, tell Mary I'll call her some evening soon. And someday, he bent closer to her. Someday I'll be asking Mary an important question. And if she says yes, your days of running a boarding house will be over. Goodbye, Mother Ferran.
It was nearing 11 o'clock when Danny gave up his night's quest in search of some lead to Joe Raffo's whereabouts and returned to his small room. Once more, the trail had been a cold one. And perhaps he'd do better to give it up. Devote himself to his future and to plans for the day when he could ask Mary to... The telephone bell cut through his thoughts stridently. He felt a tightening of his nerves as he moved toward the instrument. This might be it. The tip, the lead. Hello?
Hey, O'Hearn. This is Clint Hendricks. I got some news for you.
Speak up. I can hardly hear you.
I gotta talk low, O'Hearn. I'm using the phone in the hall at Mrs. Foran's. Mary and some guy are in the front room. I don't want them to hear me.
Okay, Hendricks. I'm listening.
I know where you can find Joe Raffo.
Raffo. A tremble ran over him.
Where? He's in room 218 at the old Christie Hotel asleep. The door to the room is unlocked because one of his trigger men is supposed to be standing guard in the hall. But the guy ain't there. He's gone down to Johnny's place for a while to play cards and have some drinks. Or you can sneak in on Raffo and pick him up without having to fire a shot if you go alone.
Why are you giving me this tip, Hendricks?
Oh, because you're a right guy and, I don't know, might be able to do me a favor someday. Just leave my name out of it. I don't want Raffo's gang laying for me. And look, you better work fast. That trigger man might come back.
Danny's eyes darted to the watch on his wrist. For a moment, they stayed there. A puzzled frown creased his forehead. He seemed to be listening to the silence on the wire. Then a quick, hard smile parted his lips. Okay, Hendricks. And thanks for the tip. I'll square it with you someday.
I gotta hang up now. I don't want Mary or nobody to know I was calling you. Just work fast, O'Hearn. So long.
At the other end of the line, Clint Hendricks replaced the receiver and turned to look across the dingy hotel room at the thick-shouldered, swarthy-faced man sitting on the edge of the bed.
Well, it worked, Joe. He took the bait like a hungry catfish, even the part about me phoning from the boarding house. He'll be here as fast as he can make it.
Yeah. Nice going. He peeled some bills from a thick roll. There's your 500.
Ah, thanks, Joe. And I better be getting out of here.
Yeah. You better be getting out. I gotta arrange a reception for my copper friend who's so anxious to meet me.
There was ugliness in the grin that bared his teeth. Hendricks cringed a little, trying to muster a faint smile in return. Just remember, Joe, if anything goes wrong, you promise to keep me out of it.
Nothing's going wrong, punk. Get out.
In the darkened room, Joe Raffo waited as the minutes ticked by slowly. His plan was crystal clear. O'Hearn would come alone. He'd want to handle the accounting for his father's murder without help. From what Clint said, he'd taken the bait about Raffo being asleep in an unlocked room. He'd open the door quietly. Come in. For the rest, a small caliber gun against a man's body made no noise. The fire escape outside the window, the car parked beyond the alley entrance, made his getaway swift and certain. By the time they found O'Hearn, maybe late tomorrow, Joe Raffo would be long gone. Long gone and far. His body tightened, soft footsteps coming down the hall. He flattened himself against the wall where the opening door would shield him. The footsteps stopping at his door, his hand tightening on the gun butt, cold, eerie silence filling the room. A light touch on the doorknob. Then, behind him, all right, Raffle, get him up or I'll cut you in two. He whirled to face the fire escape window. The beam of an electric torch burned the sight from his eyes. And through it, a red tongue of flame darting out of the angry roar that shattered the silence. The smash of hot lead against his hand that made him cry out in pain as his gun dropped to the floor. The thud of someone jumping into the room from the window. Then the room flooded with light from the chandelier. And Danny O'Hearn coming toward him, his revolver hanging level in his big fist. And now Raffo's snarling voice. Smart copper, huh? Sneaking up the fire escape. While the night desk man came down the hall and rattled the doorknob to fool you, Raffo. So you didn't take the bait, huh? Not after the way Clint Hendricks tipped me not to take it. Hendricks, the dirty little rat. He double-crossed me, huh? That's right, Raffo. Clint Hendricks double-crossed you. But he didn't know he was doing it. And he won't know until I've got him in a cell next to you for trying to set me up for your second murder in the O'Hearn family. Didn't know? What do you mean he didn't know? He lied to me over the phone. I got suspicious of his story about your being asleep in your room unguarded. He said he was calling from the boarding house, and Mary was entertaining company in the front room. When I looked at my watch and saw it was 11 o'clock, I knew he was lying. What difference would that make? A lot of difference, killer. Because why? Danny O'Hearn's smile was one of triumph and joy. Because two reasons, Raffo. First, I would have heard the grandfather's clock in the hall, close to the phone, striking the hour. And on the last stroke, I would have heard Mother Ferran's voice calling down the stairs. 11 o'clock, Mary. Time to tell the young man goodnight and come to bed. Tomorrow is another day. I ought to know. I've heard her say it enough times. And now, Raffo, put out your mitts while I put these bracelets on him. You see, I want to call Mary and make a date for myself. Tomorrow evening.
Folks, if you could just come behind the scenes and see how Edward's coffee is blended and roasted, then you'd really understand why each pound gives you an extra flavor lift. You see, Edward's coffee is blended according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. The choice coffee beans, for instance, are actually selected for size, shape, and color, blended by flavor, not by weight, then roasted in small batches by the modern thermalo heated air process to match a perfect test sample. Yes, just to the very peak of flavor and aroma. And to keep that golden flavor for you, Edward's coffee comes in the whole bean and is fresh ground for you right at the store. Try a pound of this extra rich coffee. If you don't thoroughly enjoy its extra flavor lift, your money refunded. Edward's coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
And now, Hal is standing here beside me with a suspicious twinkle in his eye, which my guess is has something to do with next week's story.
Correct you are. Next week, that familiar character to all Night Editor listeners, Adrian P. Covington, the big, lumbering detective of Jennifer County, returns in a brand new yarn titled Adrian Sets a Trap, a story with an ending that I think will surprise you. Join us when I tell it to Bobby in the newsroom next week, won't you? Good night.
Be sure to listen next week at the same time for another short story written and told by Hal Burdick, master spinner of yarns. This is Bill Baldwin saying goodnight for Edward's Coffee.